Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who is in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Brandy?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Mark?
Here. Okay, we have a full assembly this evening. I know this topic has been kind of contentious since last May, roughly. So I'd like everybody to, keep calm and just, if you want to testify, when you come to testify, don't point any comments directly at anybody. And when you address the assembly, address the whole assembly, not one assembly member. And first thing we're going to do is the manager, Giesbrecht, will give a presentation regarding the proposed reorganization of the Electric Utility and Public Works Department. The assembly will be given the opportunity to ask questions of manager Giesbrecht at the end of his presentation. And I don't, Mindy, is there paper agendas if anybody needs them available?
Yes, they're
on the outside.
The door
okay,
there.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be a public hearing. And any public testimony regarding the proposed reorganization of the Electric Utility and the Public Works Department should be given during this public hearing. Public testimony should be limited to 3 minutes per person and be given in a respectful manner. So, with that being said, Manager Giesbrecht. Sure, yeah, whatever works for you.
Joe, how's sound check for everyone? Great. What we tried to do is to lay this out in a way to be able to show what we currently have and then kind of two different options, one which is the original proposal and another which is kind of morphed recently and been talked a little bit about. But current way it's set up, we had the power and light superintendent with electrician, power plant mechanic, meter reader, office manager, line foreman, reporting directly to what was Joe's old position. And on the public works side, we had Carl, Chris, and then streets, water, wastewater, motor pool, and sanitation reporting up through that organization. So that's how we're set up today. What the original proposal was, and this was to basically drop the assisted public works director position, reconstruct this so that you end up with a good reporting arrangement, and create the position of a utility director that would have the power and light office manager and then the same reporting structure that we had in the original one. So, in other words, all of these people reporting directly to the utility director. So, line foreman, meter reader, electrician, power plant mechanic, and also the water and wastewater supervisors, again, reporting to the utility director. This proposal saves about $116,000 annually going forward, not counting the recruiting costs associated with what we were looking at to bring a new electric superintendent in here. This is what we were talking about originally. And the downside of it is it, unfortunately, kind of repeats what we faced with, which is not a great succession plan for power and light. So in the process of kind of talking this through and hearing from various people, we put forward what we're calling the general foreman option. Very similar in nature to the original proposal, but instead of having a line foreman, it's creating a new position called the general foreman. This position would have the electrician, meter reader, lead lineman reporting to the general foreman, with the power plant mechanic, the general foreman, the water supervisor, wastewater supervisor, and the office manager reporting to the utility director. Now, one of the things that this does is gives you a little more clear-cut succession plan for power and light. By creating a general foreman position, we can then go in and adjust the job description and then negotiate with the union and add to that general foreman, and that's in your packet, some of the what we call management roles, like building the budget, you know, doing it, some of the administrative side on the purchasing and project planning into this role. We can't do that originally, again, without renegotiating the salary there. So we would do that here. This saves roughly about $106,000. We have to be careful about that, though, because that position is new, and we would have to negotiate that with the union. So we've got a salary in mind that we've run by the people interested. Talked to Scott through this, but there's no guarantee that would be set in stone. We would have to go through the union process. We can write job descriptions. The union can negotiate salaries. So this is just that's $106,000 is based on what we think they would approve, but I can't guarantee that standing here. In both of these scenarios, Public Works is set up where we would have had the Public Works Director redefine what that means and what the new Public Works design would be: sanitation, motor pool, and the streets foreman, reporting up to the new Public Works Director. Both of these proposals, you know, try to limit the number of people reporting directly to manager, so we're not getting into too many direct reports, and it gives us a little bit of position where we've got some potential succession planning, which I think is going to be more and more important as we go through life. It's going to get harder and harder for us to recruit people. So anyway, that's the two proposals. Again, the original one was this, you know, we'll call it the line foreman option. This is the one that we've talked about up until this point. Saved about $116,000 annually. The general foreman concept is something we've been kind of tossing around for the last couple of weeks. It saves a little bit less money because of some money built into this, but gives us a little more flexibility on some succession planning. And I can answer any questions anybody has or try to.
Any questions of the manager on the poll? And I'd mention one more thing. This is just an informational meeting, a public hearing. There will be no action taken this evening at this meeting. So any questions? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So what's the process of working with the union that represents Power and Light to change that job description?
Well, what we would do would be we would submit them the new job description, and we would give them the salary that we're thinking of, which, by the way, is a little bit over $101,000. That's an hourly position, so it'd still be in the union. And they would come back and say they agree or they don't. And we'd go back and forth and say, you know, what are they thinking? What are we thinking? And we'd end up negotiating what those salary ranges would be for that job.
Yeah, just another question, Mr. Mayor. So is it just a salary negotiation that it is?
Or
is it a job description as well as a salary?
No. Borough has a right to do job descriptions any way we choose. That is not negotiated. The union has the right to negotiate salary.
Thank you.
Member Morrell, you had a question?
Yeah, I would like to know what the proposed salaries for anybody that beyond just not just the general foreman, but the new director would be, everything like that.
Okay. Let me walk through that. Okay. I'll kind of start at the beginning. Our former electrical superintendent was making $102,500. This does not include benefits or any kind of retirement stuff, so this is pure salary. The utility director position would be $108,000. The proposed public works director was $82,000. The lead lineman is, and we've got it both hourly and annually, lead lineman is $45.97 an hour or $95,617. And I think I got them all.
And the general foreman was?
General foreman was just over $101,000.
So about what the old superintendent was making.
Correct. Mm-hmm. A little bit less, but.
Member Wallerter.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Just so I'm clear, the numbers that you just rattled off are just pure salaries. They're not benefits.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Salaries, no benefits, no retirement baked into those.
Member Morrell.
I would like to know what your plans are for, I mean, if this goes through, and what happens when Carl retires, or, I mean, you're kind of like, how it appears to me, you're not really leaving a position where anybody would be, it would be qualified.
Well, I to a certain extent, I disagree. we'll look at the general form of one as a, you know, as an example. You have a utility director, and you have three, what we'll call, you know, department, you know, supervisors in wastewater, water, and the general foreman themselves. Clearly, the hope is, and the way you normally do succession planning becomes Carl's job or utility director's job, is to make sure these folks are learning what they need to know to be able to someday advance. Doesn't mean that they will, and doesn't mean that there's not challenges with that. But I can tell you, I mean, Carl's, you know, how he's run public works since for a very, very long time, his supervisors are involved in budget, they're involved in project planning, and so they get, you know, tested in those areas in a sense where they're allowed to be involved in it and build those skill sets that are often the linchpin of what the department head needs to know. So in this environment, you've got three potential people that are going to be learning skills that can allow them to move into that position. You know, you could say, okay, what happens if Carl retires and none of these folks are ready? You can go back and change it again. I mean, one of the things about stuff is there's no requirement that we always have the same organization. If we got, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, whatever it is, and we don't have anybody available here, and this person retires, you can try to recruit for that. I've seen jobs out there. This is not an uncommon setup. But if that doesn't work, you can blow it back up again. You can go back and say, okay, we're going to move this around and go more traditional, like what you might see in other places around here. It doesn't have to stay one way or the other forever. In public works, we've got similar setup. We've got a street foreman, motor pool foreman, sanitation operation. Generally, if you're looking for a replacement for motor pool, it's probably going to come from streets or sanitation, if, in fact, they rise to the occasion. Same kind of deal, though. You have the choice to go outside. It's not an uncommon setup. The hope is these folks can learn what they need to know and be ready for the next time there's an opening.
Any other assembly members have questions of the manager? And then after public testimony, there will be another time slot on the agenda for the assembly and the manager to have more discussion. So,
can you give me just a minute to move the podium and stuff?
Sure.
You're done with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It appears that way. No questions?
No questions. Yeah.
So one question I'd like to ask, that we have a pretty full room. Anybody that would like to testify, if they would raise their hands, we'd kind of get a count. Two. Well, you could probably have more than 3 minutes. So are we ready? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So now we're on to public hearings. Anybody that would like to take time to give their opinion or position on this restructuring idea, just come to the podium, state your name, who you represent, and since there isn't a bunch of people want to testify, there will be no time restraint.
My name is Bob Zemke, and I'm representing myself, Kevin Hess, Sam Callum, Adam Day, Daryl Toyomura, Sue Flannery, Pam Jensen, and Alice Williams. We have hesitated to publicly comment about the hiring of the electric superintendent. However, after surprisingly hearing assembly members speak out with comments indicating that employees were in support of the electric department reorganization, we felt we should comment on the issue. And though we've been reluctant to wait to publicly weigh in, perhaps we can add some information and background to the discussion. We ask that the Assembly continue to advertise and search for an electric superintendent that has experience in the electric industry. We believe the amount of time and effort undertaken for the search thus far has been inadequate, and the search time frame should be extended. Further, we ask that you do not move ahead to change borough ordinances to allow for combining the water and wastewater department head with electric superintendent position. We have safety concerns. RE reorganization plan, which would replace an electric superintendent with someone without electrical experience. It was discouraging to hear the Assembly discuss bringing back the former reorganization plan that we understood had been scrapped. Safety is serious business to us. An electrical engineer or someone with adequate electrical background will bring in the experience we understand that this position needs. We've attached letters written and submitted last May to the Assembly and to the borough manager concerning the safety concerns that the reorganization plan raises. These are from former PMP electrician Gary Morgan, letter dated May 15, 2017. Mr. Morgan was PMPL electrician for 3 years and has 18 years journeyman experience in the electrical field and 5.5 years as an apprentice. From PFI, electrician Nathan Midkiff, letter dated May 15, 2017. Mr. Midkiff is head electrician at PFI, which is PMPL's largest customer. He has 30-plus years experience in the electrical field. And IBW 1547, assistant business manager Jay Rhodes, letter dated May 12, 2017. IBW represents electrical workers nationwide. We urge you to please carefully read their comments once again as we've submitted to the Assembly. As we feel, they clearly address the safety issues and concerns the reorganization plan brings. We've also attached a letter submitted to the Assembly on July 17th from former Mayor Don Koenigs, and a letter submitted to the Assembly from Wrangell Light and Power Electric Superintendent Clay Hammer concerning the hiring of the electric superintendent. Excuse me. A few questions and thoughts. Firstly, there is definitely enough power light funding to pay for a full-time electric superintendent. There has been much discussion surrounding this reorganization plan about money savings, but to be clear, a person without electrical industry experience will need to rely more on consulting engineers than our previous electric superintendent did. Confusingly, the borough manager appears to be disputing that notion in some of his statements, but it is simply true that more outside experience will need to be hired for a number of tasks. Mr. Morgan's letter points out some of those areas. Also, keep in mind that wages paid to outside experts leave town and do not get recirculated locally. Here's a recent example. For some electrical work for which the former electric superintendent had prepared an estimate, the in-house cost for preliminary design work for the project was estimated to be $1,500. An engineer's estimate just recently obtained for design work for that same project was $7,000. How many of these situations will be coming up is hard to know. So it is difficult to quantify and make an estimate about how much extra money will need to be spent for electrical design work, but it can be costly. Preparing specifications and evaluating bids for purchasing certain electrical equipment will also require some specific electrical background or the hiring of a consultant to prepare and evaluate those. Some questions come to mind about electrical upgrades in the community. Our large commercial customers have often brought engineers by our office to go over their upgrade plans. If the new electric superintendent doesn't have electrical experience, who can they consult with who will answer their technical questions? Will their plans be submitted to outside engineers? On municipal upgrade plans, for instance, at the harbor where borough hired consultants would in the past submit design plans to the electric department, would we plan to hire a consultant to review the harbor consultant's work? Another concern about hiring a person without electrical background is that even when electrical consultants are hired to design a project, there will generally be questions that come up, whereby a full and thorough understanding of the project is extremely beneficial. So, for example, if you don't know what that piece of electrical generating equipment is supposed to do in that situation exactly, then you may not get what you need in the final engineered project. Cities who don't have expertise in their departments will often have a city engineer on staff to fill that void. Another thing to keep in mind is that although we are a small utility, the electrical superintendent is responsible for overseeing not only the power distribution side, but also our own hydro generation facility and our diesel generation facilities. Add to that the interconnection with the SEPA transmission lines, and you can see there are a number of responsibilities that the electrical superintendent has for which electric experience is suitable. Oversight of the protocols for switching orders and for energizing the system is an added responsibility. Electrical experience is invaluable for long-range planning for our utility as well. We are well positioned for the future because of good planning in the past. Why was the posting for the position that was requesting an electrical professional advertised at a salary range of $90,000 to $110,000 when the borough manager had said earlier he was willing to pay Mr. Hageman, who has no electrical background, $108,000? Is that realistic? Maybe a strategy to conjure more interest would be to show a salary range DOE, depending on experience, so as not to discourage a good candidate who may be interested. We saw an ad that had been published in a regional publication only one time. How much effort has been put into this search? The Borough Assembly only authorized the manager to begin recruiting for the electric superintendent position at the end of October, just as the borough has experienced in other job searches for department head positions in the past. Finding suitable candidates can take time. An adequate length of time for a superintendent search could likely extend for months, as this position calls for candidates with a particular set of experience in the electric industry along with managerial skills. We ask that you extend the time frame for recruiting interested applicants accordingly. A search over an extended period of time should find a qualified and appropriate candidate. In the interim, we have Scott and Carl in place to deal with matters that need to be addressed. Voices in the electric field were not consulted or listened to when the reorganization plan was conceived. Why was the retiring electric superintendent left out of any planning for his replacement or in assisting in preparation of a job description? He understands the electrical field. He has a thorough knowledge of what skills are needed in this particular job. Why wouldn't the borough manager or the assembly make a point to hear what his thoughts were? We urge you to keep the electric superintendent job description as is, which requires electric experience. We would ask you to read points 1 through 4 in Gary Morgan's letter very carefully concerning the electric superintendent duties and how they relate to safety in the workplace. Safety is paramount in this industry. And we can't stress loudly enough, electrical experience matters for this electric superintendent job. People can get killed in the blink of an eye in this industry, literally in the blink of an eye. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the audience that wants to testify? I saw only two people raise their hands, so.
I also have a comment from Don Koenigs. He couldn't be here tonight, and he asked that I would ask this question. So I'm also representing Don Koenig.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to get back and forth. He wanted us to answer a question he was going to ask. Can you say that again, Bob?
Well, Don gave me a question to present in this meeting for him. So.
I'm going to refer to the assembly if they want to hear comments submitted by somebody in writing. Is that public comment? Either that or Mr. Koenigs can be asked to email it to us. It might be more proper unless he... Member Walhinder?
I wouldn't be opposed to hear what Don's question
question is, but I don't expect an answer. I'll write it down, and then I'll you know, so you won't have to email me. I mean, if it's at the pleasure of the assembly.
I guess, you know, that kind of makes sense to me if he's going to email it to us anyway.
Yep.
It may as well be read to us. How does the rest of the assembly feel?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. All right. The question might be won't be answered here tonight, though. This isn't.
So Don was asking about, in the paper, the pay scale for the utility director position was $116,289, according to what the article in the paper was. He's questioning, does this amount include benefits? And if not, why was this position not advertised at this amount for the electric superintendent position? Why wasn't it advertised for that amount higher than the $110,000 that it was originally maxed out at? Is health insurance included, et cetera, benefit package? So these advertised amounts, they didn't get advertised accordingly, or this total amount did not get advertised accordingly. He's asking that question about that amount.
With the assembly's approval,
paper, but the manager says an answer.
So. It's okay with the assembly, I can answer this.
Please,
it's
actually
a mistype in the paper. The 116 is the amount of money saved, not what the salary was. The salary was
okay.
$108,000, like I said earlier.
Okay. So, Mr. Koenigs, if you're listening, that's the answer. If not, maybe we could respond. Steve, would you be comfortable in responding to Mr. Koenigs
sure.
for that answer?
Sure. Yeah, not a problem. I can make sure Don does.
Thank you, Mr. Zemke. Are you got it? Okay. Mr. Jensen, your turn to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and assembly members. Thanks for hearing me. I just want to go through a little history. I was born and raised here. My father was born and raised here. His father came over and helped settle this community. So I have a real deep interest in this community. It goes back to the roots. And I, with that being said, I don't think the direction we're looking at here is the right direction to go. I don't see where it's going to save money in the long run. I just don't see it. And I've been involved. I'm not coming to you blind. I've been involved with the Thomas Bay Power Authority for about 6 or 8 years. I can't remember the exact amount of years. And SEPA, I've been on that board for 6 or 8 years. I've chaired both of them, but I still don't know enough about electricity to tell you how to run a power plant. I do know what it takes to keep an organization like SEPA going. It's a lot of work, and it trickles down to our department here. It's a lot of work, and I'd like to keep a person that's got a degree in engineering, electrical engineering, as the leader of this group of people. Like, and I agree with everything Mr. Zemke said. I just want to reiterate that I think he did a good job presenting the issues that he thought were present, and I'm with him in his thoughts there too. So that's basically all I have to say. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. So I'll throw it out there again. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to testify? Because if I see no hands go up, the public hearing will be closed, and we'll go back to the next thing on the agenda, which is assembly manager discussion. Okay, thanks everybody for coming, but I see no one else that wants to testify to the public hearing, so we'll move on to item 4 on tonight's agenda, and that is assembly manager discussion. So does the assembly have any comments after hearing the testimony that was presented to us this evening? Or have you thought of anything about the flow charts during the half hour? Or Member Castro?
Yeah, I am. My question about this is how Scott's role would play in this, and why he wasn't considered in the electrical expertise department. And you know, to be able to have, you have a manager, but then you have a specialist who'd be working underneath it. And as if we follow this general foreman position plan, you know, where he would fit into the workflow, and why consultation would be needed for electrical projects if he was involved with the project.
Yeah. You know, I don't have an answer for that, but I know on our Monday noon meeting, we're going to have the first reading of the 5 ordinances that are slated to be modified to fit this restructuring idea. And in there, there is going to be three job descriptions: utility director, general foreman, I believe, and public works director, if I stated those correctly. So, maybe that question could be answered in that discussion. And then for all of those five ordinances, the first meeting is the 5th, and then I think we're going to have the second meeting. I can't remember what date we chose, the 20th, and maybe we'll reschedule that, maybe not. But the second meeting, we'll have a public hearing, so we can go through the same process here, but on each individual ordinance. So we'll have three job descriptions and five ordinances that need to be modified. That's so anyway, I don't know, do you have any other input, Member Castro?
Well, I was also thinking about kind of something that Andrew Donato had said, the Ketchikan electrical division manager, was about how it's about handling people and that management experience is more important than being experienced in the electrical field. That was just a comment that I remember from the paper back during the initial discussion, and it kind of seems to be pretty appropriate here.
I remember his input as well. So, and he's the public works for Ketchikan Public Utilities. He's the manager there. So, Member Morrell,
have you guys spoke to Andrew directly?
I haven't,
because I actually did reach out to him prior to me being an assembly member, and that wasn't his take on it at all. And I'm willing to print it out to you guys and give it to you on Monday, but he actually said that they were not in agreement with that at all. Huh. And I have a letter on my personal email from him stating that. So, I said, I will be happy to print that out and give it to you all, but that was not what he said to me directly.
Interesting. So, any other comments? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I've read these letters from the folks at Power and Light, you know, and I appreciate what you're saying. I honestly do. And I don't think there's any question on my part that safety is like the number one issue that should be addressed at all times. One of the first questions I have is, if we go with this reorganization, with we have a general foreman, compared to when we had an electrical superintendent who, and a question I asked the city manager is what the amount of time they were in the field and what the amount of time they were in the office. And the response I got was 90% in the office, 10% in the field. If we had a general foreman, would those numbers change?
Through the mayor. Actually, the general foreman would be a working position where we would expect that position to be in the field quite a bit, and part of the line crew in a sense. We don't want to have to add staff, so to make sure that we have enough linemen, certified linemen, available for the types of jobs that need to be done, we needed that to be a working position. And so while there's an aspect of it as far as, you know, budgetary and purchasing and learning the bidding process and stuff, there's also continues to be where we would expect Scott to be in the field supervising the line crew, particularly on bigger jobs, or out there lending his expertise to what he's been doing all along. So quite a bit different than in the past, but again, a working position.
So, Member Morrell?
Excuse me if I'm wrong. Isn't that kind of what Scott does as the line foreman? I mean, I don't know how he's going to really be able to assist the electrician, because they are apples and oranges.
I don't believe I said electrician. If I did, I'm sorry.
Flow chart that he would.
That the electrician would be reporting to that position.
So I don't see how being the line foreman and the general foreman is really going to be much different.
Well, I'll try to. The difference is in what we're allowed to do with the union. So we could say, okay, Scott, you're a line foreman, and we're going to add these job duties. We're going to make you do the budget, and you're going to do purchasing. The union would have a bit of an issue with that, because while we can change job descriptions, they get to negotiate salary. So if we added those to Scott's job, he would rightfully be able to go back to the union and say, hey, my job has changed, and I'm being asked to do more management-type things, and so therefore I should be paid more. The general foreman would job description, which I think is in your packets, is built around that concept, that he's in the field, but he's also having those kind of management duties, and therefore we would negotiate that salary. So I can't ask Scott to do the general foreman job without paying him appropriately. That would be a violation of the CBA, collective bargaining agreement. Sorry.
Any other questions? If not, Member Merle has another one. I'd like to try to spread out the.
Sorry.
So go ahead, Member Merle.
Well, okay. So if he's going to be doing management things like the budget, then what's Carl doing?
Okay. Personnel, human resources. He's oversight of three different departments, including the budgets for all three of those. It's not as simple as you do one thing, you know, and Scott does the budget, and then that's the last it's seen. To give you an example of how it's currently done, Carl has his individual supervisors create budgets for their area. And then he integrates all of them in and helps them go through, learn through the process of tracking the budget and planning for it. That is an aspect that has not been part of Scott's job up to this point. We'd like to make it part of his job, to be honest with you. It builds some bench strength in those areas. And to do that means, yeah, Carl's going to have to work with Scott and say, okay, this is how we build a budget. And so they build it together. And over time, Scott learns more and more about it and the issues of how we manage it, how to work with finance, what's required with that. And, you know, that builds, again, the bench strength. Carl's role is many of what you've already seen, which is many of these projects that Power and Life has that have been backlogged. We want to get off the backlog list and onto the production list. And managing those projects is a big deal. We've talked about the turbine project. The assembly recently just approved that contract with McMillan to basically bring them in and go through our entire hydro operation. We're going to get them in here. That's going to be a project that's going to run for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, Carl's role continually has been, in many ways, he's very good at managing these type of situations to make sure it follows the borough's purchasing rules, our spending rules, all of the meetings that go along with tracking a project like that. It's a big job. And, you know, Scott, I anticipate Scott being heavily involved in that if this thing goes through. But, you know, it falls on Carl to make sure it happens.
Any other questions or discussion items for the manager?
You can go first. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead, Jeff.
I thought I was doing it, but that's all right. Member Stanton-Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the manager, please. The first meeting in October, we unanimously approved to re-up with you as our manager. And I know for myself, the last thing I want to do as an assembly person is be your micromanager. Fired you for a reason, to make personnel decisions and pretty much run borough business. So my question for you is, with that in mind, hearing this conversations about safety and safety needs to be considered at all costs, do you share those safety concerns that were just voiced? Or conversely, do you feel comfortable with the utility director position and the general foreman position managing those types of situations?
Okay. You're the mayor. I feel very comfortable with Carl's ability to maintain the safety aspects of what we have. And I say that because our line crew today is very safe. I said this before when this came up. So, you know, Joe's been gone for quite a while now. Have we seen a change in safety procedures among the crews? I mean, I don't think we have. If we have, boy, it hasn't been because of, you know, anyone other than the line crew themselves, and I don't believe that to be true. So, meaning, why would suddenly we decide to be less safe? That is a huge part of IBEW training. It's a huge part of being an electrician. And so I guess I've never really fully understood why the expectation is, because I know Joe was not out at every job. He's a very, very good manager, but he was not at every job that the line crew did, and they did safe work. We're not going to change that. I see no reason to change that, and I don't see why we would expect Carl to suddenly walk in the door and say, we're going to change all the rules so you guys are less safe. He is equally responsible for safety of our employees. OSHA inspects us just as often as in the electrical department, and we don't have safety issues there either. So, again, it's one of those issues I'm very confident that we will maintain our safety records among this group under the utility director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The further clarification, and thank you for speaking to Mr. The safety issues regarding Mr. Hagerman. Would you feel the same way regarding Mr. Newman?
Without a doubt. Even more so. I mean, he's been a lineman for many, many years. He's been operating as the interim superintendent for a very long time now.
Yes.
And again, we're not having safety issues. I don't expect that to change, and I don't think Scott would allow it to change.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manager.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, you know, for me, one of the big concerns I had is when I heard that this was going to save money, you know. And while that might sound good to the public, you know, I think, you know, we need to look at the whole structure. If we were to hire a person who was an electrical engineer, would we be doing away with outside consulting work that the city would be hiring for electrical programs that we were trying to put together?
Steve could probably answer this best, but from my recollection and the discussions we've had on this, that we used a consultant when Joe was there, but to what level we'd need to use a consultant if someone with Joe's expertise wasn't there, would it increase? I don't know. That's a moving target. Member Mucci?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Well, I was just curious if the argument is to hire somebody who is an electrical engineer, do we stop going to outside consultants to help us, or does that person who we hire as an electrical engineer, electrical superintendent, they would take over all those jobs that we have been paying? I mean, in 2017, we spent $135,000 in outside consultants. You know, in 2016, we paid $51,000. In 2015, we did $90,000. And, you know, it's a lot of money that we're paying for an outside consultant. And if we're going to save money by hiring an electrical engineer, I would hope that we would do away with this outside consulting, because hopefully whoever we end up hiring would be able to have that expertise, and we wouldn't need to go outside to look for other contractors. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can make a comment. I mean, there's not really a direct state or question there. So, like many things, the world has gotten, you know, in electrical world, it's gotten very specialized. To expect someone, you know, as electrical superintendent to supervise, you know, I'm just picking one off the project list, you know, engineering services for the generator replacement project. Okay, I mean, as an example, it starts to get very, very specialized. And, you know, we used a consultant for that when Joe was here. And guess what? That's perfectly acceptable. Why do you see, you know, Juno, who has an engineer as a public works director and engineers on staff, using outside engineers to design harbors? Because it's very specialized. Many of the things that we come across in our jobs, and in particularly the projects that we're talking about in Power and Light, are not just run-of-the-mill, I'm an electrician or I'm a electrical engineer and I can sign off on this stuff. It's going to involve bringing consultants in. That's just the world we live in. If you want to avoid using all consultants, I'm not sure I can deliver that to you, even with an electrical superintendent in place.
Member Merle?
I had just a couple comments about that. For instance, with the whole consulting thing, with the switch project that was supposed to be done in-house, ended up having to pay for prints because we didn't have anybody that could just do it on staff. cost us $60,000 in labor for 1 week. So I don't see how that's saving us any money. And these are small projects that are now going to have to be engineered because we don't have anybody that is capable on staff to do these smaller projects. So, yes, the bigger ones, of course, are going to have to be engineered and have outside consultants. But smaller jobs that have originally been done in-house, those ones would not have to be engineered or consulted if you had somebody that knew what they were or that had the qualifications, or hopefully even an engineering degree would be great. But, you know, I don't think that we have to go that far. Another thing about the safety issue is that I think that everyone is trained, especially in the electric field, to be safe. I mean, it's scary. But just like in any job, you become complacent. And that's when you rely on management and people that know to keep you in check and to keep make sure that you are doing your job and doing it right and you're not cutting corners. And it's just common. We all do it. But if you have management that's not aware of if that's a cutting a corner or not, they can't exactly make sure that you're being safe. And I see a lot of head nods, so I think that everyone agrees with me.
But this is another whole thing. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, in this whole reorganization program, I never thought Carl was going to be out in the field supervising electrical projects that are going on. He's got somebody who he's working with, whether it's Scott, you know, who's doing the job. He's the guy out there making sure they're not cutting corners. I wouldn't expect Carl to know all the ins and outs of the safety issues related to the electrical department. I would depend on our director or whatever we're going to call him to make sure that his crew is not cutting corners. I've never seen those guys be complacent at all. They're very, you know, they seem very organized. They seem to be very safety conscious. I haven't heard any issues whether or not there have been safety violations with the electrical utility. I don't know how it would start happening if you had somebody like Scott as the general foreman. I don't know. It doesn't ring with me. I don't get it.
Any other comments or questions? Member Castro?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so for example, using Icicle as an example, if Nathan Makeiff, who is the lead electrician, right? Mm-hmm. And then he reports to Emily Spurl. So in essence, would that not be a lot like this position where Adam and Kevin report to Scott and then Scott reports to Carl?
Let's just say we're on air and this is my job, but it doesn't work that well.
Any other comments or questions from Steve? I just want, if it's my turn, I guess, a clarification that I've heard people say that, you know, this restructuring and you're going to have the water, wastewater, and power and light under one manager if this happens. And people are thinking that it's all going to be the same enterprise fund, but it's going to be the three separate enterprise funds still. You're going to have three separate budgets. So the money generated by each specific enterprise fund is going to be in their bank account used for that enterprise fund and adjusted by rates to compensate it.
Correct.
So I just wanted to say that on the air when we're having this discussion. But to the conversation that just took place between Member Mucci and Member Morrell about safety, and I still feel we need to have someone in the charge of power and light that has electrical experience. If you don't know what the equipment does, how can you guide your subordinates in doing their job? I mean, I'm sure you, I mean, Mr. Hagan is a wonderful manager of people, but if it comes to managing a field he doesn't totally understand, which I'm referring to the electric side of this, restructuring, I'm not comfortable with it. And that's nothing personal. It's just since we're giving our opinions, there's mine. Member Walhutter.
I just want to play devil's advocate for just a minute, Mark.
Henry Ford didn't know how to build a car. Henry Ford hired people who knew how to build a car. He had people, expertise underneath him. I think it's a disservice to the people that we have working at the utilities right now that we're questioning their abilities to do their jobs correctly. And I think that's a disservice to them, because I think the gang over there knows their jobs and they know it well. And I would like to think that if it does go the direction of reorganization, I'm still on the fence. I would like to think that they would realize they're in this together, you know, and it would benefit all of them to do a good job, you know, because, you know, and be safe. I mean, I'm a knucklehead, and I wire all of my own stuff on the boat. And when I touch a wire, I am here now. I don't know if any of you guys, well, Nancy might have this one, and some of you older people might know this one. Be here now, which means focus on what you're doing and forget about your date coming up, you know, an hour from now. I mean, if you're touching something that's going to kill you, you have to be aware of what you're doing at that particular time. So maybe they don't have the understanding that they are in a dangerous situation. But whenever I open up my electrical boxes on the boat and get ready to touch the wires, the first thing I take is a voltmeter to see what I'm going to touch is live or dead. And, you know, before I work on it, that's the very first thing I do. And sometimes if I walk away from it for a little while, I'll come back and put the voltmeter on it again. So, I mean, these guys are trained to do this stuff. I'm not. So I'm just throwing it out there that, you know, I think Bob knows how to do the switching and go from diesel generator to hydro, and, you know, because that's his job. You know, Scott, you know, I think understands the safety aspect, and, you know, and I know that by people that are going up the pole, they know their job, you know, the safety aspect of it. And if electricity is going to kill somebody and we're wiring them hot now, why don't we shut the power off? Do what you got to do, turn it back on again. So what if we're out of power for an hour or something? I think there's ways that we can look at this, but like I say, I'm still not there yet. I mean, I'm just trying to throw some things out there and try to get some answers for them. And, you know, so that's my comments.
Member Merle?
About the expertise, I agree. They do have great expertise in that department. But what happens when you have turnover and you start losing the expertise that you're relying on? A lot of these guys have been trained as apprentices, and they've only been, the only John the job applications they've done is something that they've done on this line crew. And if you start to take jobs away and projects away, you're going to start to lose that expertise within your crew over time, because you're not doing the bigger jobs yourselves. You're not getting that experience. And again, we're going to go back, and I mean, I might be losing my job now. It doesn't work. I've seen it.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, you know, I don't think we should be real concerned right now about losing people. You know, the managers who we have in these departments, that's their job to see who's going to fill in coming up the line. And I don't think by somebody retiring from either Public Works or Power and Light that the next person that fills in behind them is going to be less qualified in the electrical field, unless that's what the city wants to do. If they want to hire people who are less qualified to work for the electrical department, you could certainly do that, and then you're going to get into mistakes. But I honestly feel that when you're looking for people who are working with power, you're going to want people who can. I mean, you're not going to want me in there up in the bucket truck trying to switch a transformer, and I don't expect Carl to be up in a bucket truck trying to wire a transformer. I would expect Scott to be on the ground making sure that is all happening, and I would expect at some time during this transition that Carl would be out on that crew just standing around watching, seeing what's going on. I know Carl doesn't have the expertise as the electrical superintendent, but you know, that wasn't what one of my concerns was. I wanted to make sure we had a person like Scott who was supervising that department, supervising those employees. If he had issues with the budget or administrative task, he could work with Carl or whoever else within the city to, you know, take care of those efficiencies that he might have. But to think that you're going to have, and I've always been uncomfortable talking about the employee's name because that's not really my charge up here as an assemblyman. I leave that to the manager to take care of all that stuff. And like it's been said earlier, you know, I'm not really into micromanaging this thing. If the city manager who we're paying good money tells us that this idea might be a better way to go, I'm certainly all in until it turns out to me that this is not going to work. Thank you.
Member Stanton-Greger.
Well, In short, I'd really like to echo pretty much everything Member Mucci said right there, especially the part about micromanaging, as I mentioned before. We hired you, Steve, for a reason, and I think you, Carl, and Scott all said something really well a while ago about the utility director position, and it resonated with me since last year. If it doesn't work, we can do something different, simply put. We have no reason to believe it will not work, but that we can always do something different. And that's the beauty of your role, is you can find a way to do these things. You created the utility director position. And a quick point of clarification from our last meeting, it was I had accidentally directed you, Mr. Manager, using names of hiring. That was not my intention. I was wanting to echo your plan from last May. I hope you hire whoever you want for all the positions you want. Again, that is not my role to do. That's all.
Mr. Mayor, may I say something? It's kind of related but unrelated. There was an editorial in the newspaper today, and Bob kind of said a little, some of the same types of things related to, you know, Power Light's got plenty of money, and or this won't save money for the general fund. I just want to make it very clear to the Assembly. As what I understand your directions to me are, find ways to save money and get more efficient. It's not just in the general fund. I think it is important for us to save money, even in Power and Light, because it's a cost of living issue. If we don't control costs there, then rates will have to go up someday. Or, hey, maybe we can find ways to where we can even lower rates. It becomes a cost of living thing. Again, whether or not this goes through, I'm just saying in general, my focus is saving money wherever we can save it, and that includes enterprise funds. Yes, enterprise funds have an easier time. They can change their rates up when they need more money. I would prefer not to have to do that again, and I think that's important. Yes, it's very easy to talk about how much money Power and Light has, but they've got some big projects coming up, and you know, so we are watching how we spend money there, and I do the same in every enterprise fund. So anyway, thank you.
Any other comments? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So somebody mentioned something earlier tonight about working on a, I don't know if the right word is, working on a line when it's hot. So why does that happen? I mean, can they turn the power off and work on that line? Or is that just something that, I don't understand the process of that.
I think you might have answered your own question. If you don't work on it hot, you have to turn the power off, and the municipal Power and Light over the years has worked on lines hot, so you just for that reason, so you don't have to shut the power off. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but we've had that discussion at like SEPA board meetings and then conversations with some of the linemen. So I mean, if you shut the power off, yeah, it's safer, but then you interrupt power to the consumers. And if it's going to come to that, if we don't have enough expertise in the Power and Light, if we do this restructuring, we're going to be doing not going to be doing hot work anymore. Member Mucci?
Mr. Mayor, so are we shorthanded in the Power and Light department?
No. But I'm saying that with a caveat. Okay. We are not changing anything with this proposal that would make Power and Light change how they do business. So, for example, if they continue to fix things hot, we still have four people that would be available to do that. That's a decision that I leave up to Scott and his line crew, when it's appropriate to do something hot, when it's not. And they're the ones who have to put their life at risk, and they know when it's safe to do that and when it's not, and to use the skills they've been taught. The staffing issue is one, I mean, to echo what some of the members talked about, is whether or not we do projects or outsource them. And this is an ongoing debate on a lot of different levels. And if we wanted to have a construction crew in place where we were doing all of our own projects in-house, we would have to hire more linemen. There's no question. So, you know, can we schedule and do small stuff ourselves? You bet. But if we want to do all projects in-house, then we're short a lot of linemen. And it has nothing to do with the superintendent position. It has to do with the actual, you know, bodies that are actually doing the work. Most municipalities don't do a lot of big projects in-house. They outsource it for that very reason. They don't want to have four extra linemen on the payroll when, in fact, we may not have that many projects that are going at one time or another. So, it depends on how you want to look at it. If the direction from the assembly is we want to do all of our projects in-house, then, yeah, we're severely understaffed. If I had to add people right now in a perfect world, I'd be more worried about, backups for Bob and, mechanic and the hydro. He's a single-man shop right now. We train operators to help him out, but that's probably our biggest weakness, and not because we couldn't find a mechanic, but because it also ties into what we do at the hydro, and that's a little harder position to fill. But again, we're trying to watch pennies, and we have not asked for another position. But again, saying it again, if we're going to do all of our work in-house, if sometime the assembly wants to get into that level, then yeah, we're what, Scott? Probably at least three linemen short.
Well, if you want to keep one crew going, keeping everything going and doing hot work, you got to have a hot crew and then somebody to do the day-to-day work.
Yeah. So, again, how we do business today, no, we're not understaffed. If that was to change and everybody wants stuff done in-house, that's a different world.
Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, that's the conversation that we've had in the past, was whether Public Works was going to do street reconstruction or city crews were going to do city projects. And there was a bunch of debate about not doing that. We weren't in the construction business, this, that, and the other. And maybe that's a discussion that the assembly needs to have, is if we want to have all the electrical projects done in-house. Same thing with Public Works. If we want to have that discussion about turning the Public Works Department into a construction company and competing with local businesses. I mean, maybe that's where the discussion should be, instead of me worrying about who's up in a bucket truck. Because, I appreciate what the Power and Light guys do. I appreciate the Public Work guys for keeping the streets safe to drive on. But, like I said before, I am depending on the city manager to help me through this process.
Any other discussion? I know one that seems to me like the focal point of this whole restructuring thing has been the Power and Light. Mm-hmm. But I think there's aspects on the Public Works that need to be addressed as well, as far as, like you said, are we a construction company? Mm-hmm. But I look through the qualifications, these job descriptions, but I'm not going to get into that tonight because I don't think that's part of this discussion, even though they're on the agenda. I'm going to be talking more to those Monday when we start the first meetings of our five ordinances and those job descriptions and job duties and qualifications and such. And like Member Gregor mentioned earlier, Stanton Gregor mentioned earlier, that the position we took at the meeting on the 16th, when we gave direction to the manager to hire specific people, and now we realize that was, by code and charter, not correct. So that's on the agenda under Member Morrell's advice or recommendation to talk about. And one of my questions would be, and we don't have to do this, but since we're not going to give the manager, we can't give him direction who to put in these positions, how are we going to advertise these jobs, or are we going to? Are we just going to ask for the most qualified people on staff, borough employees, to take those positions? Instead of, before starting this conversation back in last May, saying you're the most qualified person, this is how we're going to do it. So anyway, we'll have that discussion starting Monday at noon. Member Dan Gregor?
Just a point of information, Mr. Mayor. My intention was never to direct the manager exactly who to hire. I was my attempt was to validate the words he had said himself in May of 2017. Just a point of information.
Okay. Well, thank you. But the way it was stated and the motion that was made said direct. And
understood.
Okay. All right. We're not going to get into that debate here. Member Mucci, you had another comment?
No, thank you.
Any other discussion or questions of the manager? The public hearing has been closed, so we're not going there. Next item on the agenda is 5, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
For second.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting's adjourned.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance. providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues. Commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.